Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. It's episode 97, where we are moving toward 100. I'm Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, Chief TV Critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hello.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Good, good. How's it going?
I am back on the job and doing strong work.
On the job. Are you feeling the wave of fall TV premieres now crashing upon you?
Yeah, I really am. I really am. Dan Feinberg and I just recently divided up what was going to be September, and the preface was, okay, this is crazy. Even with two of us, it's pretty insane.
So. And then, so how do you do that? Do you do a draft?
We kind of do a little draft. I think because I'm the chief, I get the first shot. I don't actually usually play that trump card, but I think I might have done it once or twice, but... No, and you know what? Here's what I told him. I said, like, there's a handful of things that are coming in September that are not on networks that I'm interested in. Beyond that, I'm not even making this up. I didn't really care how we decided we would, break up September when it came to network premieres, because. There were a couple that I'm looking forward to in September that I'm thinking, okay, this might be interesting for a network show, but not enough where I'm going to pitch a hissy fit because I didn't get to review it.
All right. Fair
so,
enough.
No.
So if you don't review MacGyver, it's okay with you.
I actually did not get MacGyver, for those curious. I did not get MacGyver.
All right. Did you get Designated Survivor?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, there you go.
That was my, in fact, ABC people who might be listening, that was my first pick.
In the draft,
the first network pick. Yeah, I mean, sure. To be honest, was my first.
That's the one that I'm most interested in, actually. Well, I guess maybe the other place, Mike Schur's show with Kristen Bell about.
I am doing that one.
I'm intrigued by that one.
Yeah, The Good Place.
The Good Place. That's it.
I am doing that one.
I'm curious.
How about that?
So it's coming.
Did you know? I think I probably just. I Columbo'd you right there, didn't I?
Yeah, that's fine. No.
Like right into the...
You totally Columbo'd me. I was going to let it go, but yeah, you totally Columbo'd me. It's fine.
I was thinking like, hey, here we're talking some shows. I think there's something you might not know, but correct me if I'm wrong, because you're very savvy about television, that in the September 27th premiere of Drunk History, I believe they're kicking... You know, that's a fun, funny show, but nothing we would ever probably review in whatever it is, the fourth season or something like that. But I believe their first person that they're going to have is...
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, my God.
Doing Alexander Hamilton.
You were so good! Okay, I'm never gonna Columbo you again.
This may be... I think we might have mentioned that a couple months ago.
Did we?
Well, maybe.
I can't remember a couple months ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, that's appropriate for Drunk History. So that's all. That's all good. About a couple of wines. I went to BevMo today. About a couple of bottles of wine. About some beer. I was thinking about Agent X. Every time I go to BevMo now, I think about William Blake, Heron, and and Agent X.
The long lost and sadly forgotten Agent X. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, I'd like Agent X to come right back on network television right now.
Right now. I know, right? I mean, actually, that's when you talk about like networks being good at what they're good at, that was one of my thoughts was Agent X actually such a kind of big, high-concept premise. That should have been a network show.
Probably totally would have worked.
Yeah. Oh, well, Agent Z will be coming soon. Oh, it's totally different. That's now the Secretary of State has tunnels underneath Washington, D.C. It's completely different. So I'm very excited that one of my favorites came back this week. You wrote about it in The Hollywood Reporter. We mentioned it last week, but since your review got posted in the meantime, I wanted to just bring it up again. Season 3 premiere of You're the Worst. It was so great. It was so great to have it back. It was a funny episode. It showed the depth of that show and how they're not going to be an after-school special, like, issue kind of show, but they are going to deal with real human issues while also being kind of laceratingly funny.
Yeah, they do great work, and it was, you know, it's funny, just to take a step back, we tend to... we tend to only review, or my feeling is on the review thing, we only tend to review series 3, you know, the third series and beyond, if it's really hitting on all cylinders and if it's something that's kind of critically acclaimed, we don't even really do it for big hits. You know, I think there was a mention, Dan might have mentioned, should we do Empire? Because somebody asked us to do Empire. And I think my feeling was, if you would like to do Empire in season 3, go for it. I think the Empire is over. The Empire is over. But yeah, something like You're the Worst, it's always a treat to sort of like find out what a creator like Stephen Falk is doing and how he's playing with drama and comedy and mixing them up and what's he come up with. I mean, I'm always happy to do that. And obviously, season 3 is great because I think you know it starts off and it's basically him saying, yeah, probably not going to be an after-school special because we're going to really be not safe for work moment in the
certainly,
beginning.
Certainly, yes.
Yeah. And I think that was his way of saying, yeah, we're still as outrageous as you can expect us to be. And then they very promptly start getting into other issues that are serious. So really love it. Happy to have it back.
Yeah, depression, PTSD. We have a kind of deeply broken marriage that should have died and came back as a zombie or something.
Well, it does seem like that, yes.
There's so much going on, and yet it's all like incredibly funny. It's an amazing show, and I think the other reason to do it, not only is it on going on all cylinders, but people still haven't heard about it. So
yeah,
writing about it, Empire. I think everybody who's going to watch Empire is watching Empire now.
Right. Right. And you know, that I think, well, that's kind of an interesting topic too. I mean, it used to be, we would think, oh, you know, no one's going to, once the show, you're not going to gain any new viewers in the second and third season. It's just too late. But I don't think it's necessarily true anymore because there's so many ways you can catch up.
Yeah.
That are non-traditional. And I think I probably even mentioned this on the podcast, but there's my memory issue again, where I had a talk with the creator of Rectify and saying, yeah, like, okay, maybe you didn't get the ratings, but you've left a legacy. You've got something on the shelves. You got 4 seasons or will have 4 seasons of greatness sitting on the shelf. It's like making a great album. And then like you move on to your next project, but you did something really amazing. And I think that's there, people will still find Rectify and they'll be like, oh my god, Jason and Tim, why didn't you tell us about Rectify? But of course we did many times.
So
I think people can still find You're the Worst and they should really try it.
Yeah, so it's on Hulu, all 23 episodes. It's not like you're too buried because these are short seasons too. So it's on Hulu. You can watch and I've heard from people who heard us talk about it and rave about it and have now binged through and are experiencing it week by week for the first time with this season. So that's cool too.
That's great. I'm happy to see that, especially after I did my big mea culpa about not giving it a good review in the first couple of episodes. So yeah, stick with it. How far we've come. Yeah.
I actually think my wife and I watched the first episode of the first season before the new premiere. And boy, that pilot works a lot better once you know who those characters are.
Yeah.
When you don't know who they are, there's a lot of people and you don't know what their relationships are to each other. And it really is hard to follow. And watching it back, knowing everybody, it was hilarious. But it's like, I can see why it's harder to access it because you're suddenly given like 8 characters that you have to figure out and it's too many people.
Well, yeah. And I still think, I go back and I look at those characters and, you just think, wow, there had to be a better way of putting this in front of people because it seems so off-putting. But, it worked. That's I guess the bottom line is that it eventually worked.
In the end, it did work. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of binging things, famously, we did an episode last year called Binge It Like Cocaine. That was about the first season of Narcos.
Yes.
And Narcos is back today, September 2nd, as we record this on Netflix, and you reviewed that too. So is there more cocaine in the offing, more cocaine binges happening?
Yes, there are in different ways. There are. In fact, there's a binge that ends badly, but it's not to who you think it is. But you know what? I had been away from Narcos for a really long time, and I had to watch some episodes before, obviously, for the second season. And I gotta say, I was putting it off a little bit because I was like, ah, it's just like so heavy. And lately, I've been spending my post vacation and putting my big toe back in the waters of getting back into this week by catching up on stuff that I'm really loving watching. Like, I'm Stranger Things, which we haven't been able to talk about because I haven't seen it.
Right.
And The Night Of, which we have talked about, but I finally was able to finish the very last episode. And, you know, I've been all that joy of those two episodes for different reasons, or two series for different reasons. And I was like, Narcos is going to be really heavy again. But boy, I started watching it and I was like, oh, right. I forgot how much I like this series. And I forgot how really great it is at making me care about people I didn't think that I would care about. And I don't mean that by just Pablo Escobar, because I think Wagner Mara's performance is like amazing. But people, you just don't, undeveloped characters that pop up that you end up liking, and or scenarios that like ring true and you think, you know what, that's really well done. I forgot how well done they did that, this barrio scene or whatever. So yeah, I enjoyed getting back into it. And as my review states, I kept it kind of short, but as my review states, basically, it's like, I thought the world building was really interesting on a granular level last season, to create the world of how Pablo Escobar became this gigantic drug kingpin. And in the last handful of episodes, you really kind of did see a lot more of the what it's like to be on top. But this is clearly, you know, this is clearly the end. So season two, I don't think there will be a season three. I wouldn't actually watch a season three without Pablo Escobar as the main person. But, you know, they make no bones that he's dying in this season. And that's just, that's historical fiction. So the greatness about it is, it's like, okay, it's like getting to the top of a mountain and being able to take a sled on the way down. So everything that was built up last year is going to come unraveled right now. Right. So it's really fast paced, and it pays off. And it also is surprising in ways you don't expect it to be, like, because you don't want to root for him. But I think they did a very good job of saying, not everybody is like 1,000% a total awful villain, even when they do horrible things. And none of the invading heroes are as pure as we make them out to be, especially on American television. So interesting stuff.
Spoiler alert for 1993, Pablo Escobar died.
Right. So he didn't make it out.
He did not make it. There's no conspiracy theory there either. He just didn't make it. So did you watch Stranger Things?
I did. I'm in, if for the sake of being completely honest, I'm through 5 of 8 episodes, and I'm pacing it because I'm watching it with someone, and we decided not to jump ahead.
That's good. There's got to be a word for that, of the restraint of not jumping ahead in a binge
and ruining it for the other person.
Exactly.
Because I did that with The Night Of. I'm like, no, I gotta go ahead. I gotta go quickly.
We actually watched the first 4 episodes of Stranger Things sort of over the course of about like a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then the last 4 episodes, straight through.
Wow.
Got done at midnight, couldn't stop, watched the last 4 episodes. So
yeah, that's, it does have that, what's gonna happen.
That kind of feeling. Well, any initial take on it?
Yeah, did you end up watching The Night Of?
I haven't seen The Night Of, no.
Okay, so I won't ruin anything there. I ended up liking I'll just go backwards. I ended up liking The Night Of, 8th and final episode, a lot, because I think it stuck the landing, which I was worried it wasn't going to do. I do believe it could have benefited from a couple of, two more episodes to make it to 10, would have helped some of the rushed development in the latter parts of it. But I still thought it was excellent, amazing performances. I would highly recommend that to everybody, if they haven't seen that yet, get hooked on
that.
Stranger Things has really been interesting. Partly, you know, again, both of those shows were reviewed by Dan, so I didn't have to do it, even though I knew I would do it. But it, as we've talked before, I just put them on the pile. Like, yeah, we'll get to those at some point, and you know what happens then. So for me to go through it as just kind of a fan and clearly late to the game, I didn't get all the 80s references. I kind of thought I'm not as pop culture savvy. Well, I am, but I don't have the memory for it. So I'm like, yeah, that looks familiar. Is there doing something that's an homage to... Yeah, I got those, but I'm sure I'll need to go look it up somewhere, the person who nailed every single instance of that, and say, oh, right, yeah. But yeah, I really like it despite some of the shortcomings that I see in how they're pacing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And... some of the character development, or should I say lack thereof. I'm one of the other things I've sort of been backing off of Twitter. I'm still going to use it. It's a fantastic thing for branding and getting stories out and breaking news and helping people. I just don't want to, you know, I love everybody who follows me and interacting with them. I just don't want to, like, I think I'm tiring of interacting with people I actually follow, but I haven't been on Twitter that much, but when I finally got on there, I was like, okay, one thing I want to address about Stranger Things is, like, I saw this, like, what about Barb hashtag. And I hit a nerve for people who are not big Barb fans. I think they're either are big fans of her or they're not big fans of her. There's a big divide. My thing from the critical point of view, I'd like to hear your take, is that she's not really a character. She is, I mean, I haven't seen the last three episodes, obviously, but she is the least developed character, I think, in television history for getting her own hashtag. I'm like, people, you are totally reading in what you want her to be or what she represented to you in your youth, but actually as a television series character, if you just pull your emotion out of it, she's completely not developed.
She's a plot, you know, she's an object used to service the plot, right? She's there. Yeah. First off, she's the nagging friend who's being the super ego to our conflicted good girl, bad girl character, the sister. And so she serves that purpose. And even there, when she's over at the guy's house and there are the two couples and then there's her, even there, I feel like she's... not, it's almost like she's not even present. She's just there to do, she's just there to do what she needs to do, and that's kind of it. And then, of course, as she sits on the diving board and all of that, she has another series story arc plot purpose to have. And I gotta say, even then, I don't think that they handled it particularly well, because in a town where a kid has gone missing, when another teenager goes missing like a day later, they try, there's a scene like two episodes later where they try to say, oh well, we found her car somewhere and so she probably ran away, but it's like, I just didn't buy that at all. That you wouldn't immediately, like, her friend, when she finally finds out way too late that she never came home, she kind of doesn't react to it. So she's just kind of an empty, she's like a cipher in the middle of the show, and so it is a little baffling that anybody would pick that up and run with it, because there's nothing there. She's a plot complication that they wrote in. And that, you know, that show, I liked it. I got, people were raving about it, and when I started watching it, I had an adverse reaction to it. I really did. I did feel like it was oversold. Like, it is not, it is trying very hard to be a Steven Spielberg movie. It is trying very hard to be a Stephen King novel. And I think if you try to say, what if Steven Spielberg directing E.T. made a Stephen King movie in 1982, that's a lot to ask for, and it doesn't deliver. It's not as good as that. These guys aren't Steven Spielberg. Some of the 80s period detail is good, some of it is not good, and you know, they're doing that thing where sometimes it's like, well, it's the 80s. what year exactly? Well, exactly, like the Goldbergs, where it's like, it's just, it's not really set in a time, but they seem to want to do that. And I don't know. And I also really didn't like most of the adults in it. I thought were kind of cardboard characters, or worse, really, like Winona Ryder, I thought was really annoying. But that all said, the kids are really charming, and they grow on you over time. And that kind of cheap Tales from the Dark Side kind of horror anthology feel, that in the end, I felt like it worked for it more than it didn't work for it. So I was pretty happy with it at the end. It just, I think it got oversold to me as this kind of greatest thing, and it was felt much better when I felt like it was just this this cult, you know, cult horror TV show instead. Then it felt better.
Yeah, I think you're right. As someone who came to it late, I think it was definitely oversold. I'm enjoying it. I see all the shortcomings, which makes me think, wow, should I go back and find out all the people who are critics who were like tripping all over themselves on this and say, what were you thinking? But I'm, yeah, you know, because now I'm not really being on Twitter that much, so I'm not going to go back and find their tweets about it. But I think I know they were out there.
I think you see what you want to see, and I totally get the surprise of saying, oh, somebody did a Netflix show that's like an 80s nostalgia Stephen King story. And maybe it's just that I lived through that era enough that I saw like Stephen King's Golden Years, and that, which was a summer TV show on CBS, actually, before they did Under the Dome about 20 years before.
Right.
And, you know, it was kind of cheap, and this was kind of cheap. And if you notice that it's cheap, then you really notice, like, why do the other kids never go back to their houses? It's because they didn't want to hire actors, and they didn't want to have sets because they couldn't afford it. So the kids just keep coming over to the one kid's house every night. And you know, once I noticed that, it lost a little of the spell it was trying to cast. But, you know, the girl who plays Elle is spectacularly good. And I think that she has a lot of kind of gravitational force that makes a lot of things happen. And I thought the sister, whose name escapes me now, was really good. The brother's kind of he reminded me a little of John Francis Daly in Freaks and Geeks. He's a little bit like sort of generic nerd figure, but I don't know. In the end, I thought it was good, but I had to come all the way back around after the letdown of the hype machine.
Yeah, and I think that there, the two things that I'm taking away from it, I haven't finished it yet, but the two things I'm taking away from it is it's okay to be entertained in like a show that's really entertaining. I think both you and I are agreeing on that.
Yeah,
that it's fun to watch. Even though it was probably oversold and it won't critically, it doesn't hold up as far as like, you know, it'll make my list for sure, but it'll be somewhere farther down. But I also, it's one of those things where doing this for a really long time, one of the things I first noticed was like, oh, this is going to be a prime candidate for worst second season ever.
Yeah. I will say, not you haven't seen the end yet, but I'll say I kind of like the way it ends in that it doesn't feel like a ripoff. It does what every show should do at the end of their season, I think, which is close the books and leave some dangling threads so good. That if they come back, that's great. You've got some threads to pick up.
Yep.
But you feel satisfied at the end. And it was a satisfying ending, I thought. So
good.
So you've got that to look forward to. But yeah, you're right. It's I worry actually not that they creatively won't be able to execute a second season, but that now that there's been all this hype, there'll be so much focus on it that might mess it up. Because I think maybe the beauty of it was nobody noticed that they were making it and nobody cared. And so they got to do their little low budget thing, and that's not going to happen again.
No,
the kids are on Jimmy Fallon now, right? I mean, it's kind of not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. That part is a little too much. And the knowing that they've booked the second season, and the Duffer Brothers are saying, you know, like, oh my God, it's amazing how many celebrities are saying they want to be part of the second season. Once you start thinking like how cool it would be for really famous actors to want to be a part of your show, that is a red flag. Mm-hmm. That's not why you made the show in the first place.
No.
So.
Oh, well, but it is fun, and I hope I hope you like the rest of it. I thought they did a pretty good job.
And you should move on to the night of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll put that on the TiVo. I'll put that on the list.
Also,
okay.
It's great to another 8 episodes too. It's like it's love I love it. The shortness of these things.
Fantastic. All right, Tim, we have to take a break because we have a sponsor.
Woohoo!
It's Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon, maker of comfortable underwear.
Yes.
Socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants. Most comfortable stuff you will ever wear. They want you to be comfortable. If you don't like that first pair you order from them on their website, they're a very easy to use website. Guess what? Just keep it. Do what you want with it. Put it on a scarecrow. They don't care. Just tell them that you didn't like it. They'll refund your money. No questions asked. They're not going to ask you to send a pair of underpants back. They don't want them. They don't want them. They don't want them. Leave them alone. Mack Weldon makes great underwear, socks, and shirts. They look good. They also perform well. It's great for working out, great for going to work, great for going out on a date. Anything you can think of in your life. Yeah, you know what? Mack Weldon stuff is good for that. They have smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. What more do you want? Their online store is super easy to use. You say, I want some stripy socks. You go there, you get some stripy socks. You get a hoodie, get some undershirts, get some sweatpants. Whatever you want. I work at home. I need sweatpants and hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
And underwear. Definitely underwear. Anyway, you can get a great deal on Mack Weldon stuff by going to MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon, MackWeldon.com. And you'll get 20% off.
Ooh.
That's right. 20%. Not 10%, not 5%. 20% off using promo code TVTalk. That's what you need to do to get the deal on underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, all the good stuff from Mack Weldon. Thanks, Mack Weldon, for sponsoring the TVTM.
Thanks, Mack Weldon.
You want to do some letters?
Let's do that.
All right. Housekeeping kind of stuff here. I asked, we were at like 997 likes on Facebook last week when I asked people to like the Facebook page. I checked this morning, we're at 1,027. So thank you to everybody for getting us over. Back in the old TVTM, I remember you guys would talk about how you were at like 300 likes, and it was mind-boggling that there was anybody who liked it at all, let alone 300. And that it's the same page as back then. It just has soldiered on, and probably the first 700 likes people have all died, but they still count. And now we've added another 300 to get us over to 1,000.
I love your lack of belief in our age.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think if we called out and said, everybody fall in and identify yourselves, that a lot of them, that we'd be hearing from their families about how back in the early days of podcasting, they liked it and then they passed away.
Yeah. Well, it's been through so many iterations, but yeah, it is good to see 4 digits. We never thought we would get 2 digits, but we got 4. So
it's amazing. Somewhere out there, Joe Garofoli and Benny Evangelista had a moment of happiness, a little warmth. They don't even know why, but there it is.
Yes. And all the exploding producers along the way.
Yes, that's right. Another drummer. But we had Clive from the +44 who just said, liking the page as commanded. And Jeff from the 734 said, per podcast request, I bumped you to 1,000 until someone decides to unlike you. Either way, I love the show. So thank you.
Oh, okay. So we got our 1,000 guy. Yeah. Okay. We got to put them together.
At least I couldn't check it, but that's what Jeff claims from the 734. So anyway, Jeff and everyone else.
Lie, right? Would Jeff lie?
All other 30 people / spam bots who liked us on Facebook this week. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness.
I checked the fall premiere TV dates calendar at TV Line. And the only ones on the agenda for this coming week, next Tuesday, Atlanta, which we talked about last week.
Yeah.
With Donald Glover is premiering. Mm-hmm. And Better Things also on FX next Thursday. That's about it that I thought was notable. So not
well,
a lot yet.
Here's what I will say though to that. I would say Queen Sugar has got some good press. That's on September 6th, the same day as Atlanta. But, of course, I should say you should watch Atlanta.
Oh, that's on a channel that I've never actually seen.
Yes.
OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Oprah Network, yeah. So Queen Sugar is...
okay.
Oprah is actually kind of in her demo and her people. She's kind of been nailing it lately. They got into scripted, and it wasn't so great. And then... they are kind of, you know, it's not my thing, but they're kind of getting it done. Right, I did not review Queen Sugar, but it seems to be doing well. Better Things, I will be reviewing that, and I have seen episodes of it. It's I really love it. It's on FX again. The other one I would say, just to keep your eye out for it, is One Mississippi, which is Tig Notaro.
Yeah, and that's next Friday.
The 9th, yeah. Right. So, yeah. Oh, right. We can
maybe
talk about it
next week.
That I see what you're doing there. I see what you did there. You're right. You're like, Tim, we don't have to talk about things on Friday until Friday.
Could be.
I get it. Okay.
Dean from the 707 travel update.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Watching Battle Creek in Michigan, of course. Of course. So, thanks, Dean.
That's amazing.
All we got to say. Great. something like that. That's all I got. Will from the 404 tweeted to us, why did iTunes stop renting TV episodes a few years back? Was adoption low or did the studios fight it before streaming took over? This is a tech question that I can answer, which is good. People didn't do it because the perceived value of renting a TV show for a couple of dollars or a dollar was just not there. And so people didn't do it. It wasn't the right model. And everybody agreed to fold their tent and go home. That's about it.
Interesting.
Nobody wants to rent TV shows.
No, I don't think that they do.
No.
They want to own them.
Or just have a all-you-can-eat subscription. Yeah, those are the options. Matthew tweeted at us, My 13-year-old and I loved Stranger Things. It's Matthew from the 925, by the way.
Okay.
I wanna, love Stranger Things. Any suggestions on another series we could watch together? 13-year-old.
Interesting. I think my teenagers would probably have nightmares if they watched that, but interesting. I'm at risk of being a terrible parent and saying something wrong, or a clueless critic in not being able to come up with something, because they can't watch.
There's lots of stuff they can't watch, right? Now, this is tough.
Mostly this is a tough thing they can't watch. Yeah. So a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
That's a boy. You know, it's things that are already existing. I'm trying to think. Well, they can't watch Narcos. They can't watch You're the Worst.
Nope. Definitely not.
I have a whole line of things that they can't watch. Well, Moon Boy? How about Moon Boy?
Okay.
I would say do Moon Boy on Hulu. That's one of my go-to shows. I think
Spy.
What is Spy?
Right, the BBC or not BBC British show. That's a comedy about the guy who's the spy. Have you not seen that? I think that's on Hulu too.
Oh,
it's good. It's a guy and his son, and he gets hired as a spy and has to deny it, and that doesn't actually go well. And that's actually kind of like a workplace / family comedy about a guy and his son. That's pretty good.
13's an interesting age
My daughter just binged Phineas and Ferb, but you got to like cartoons for that. You got to do that.
Yep.
Or Star Wars Rebels is a good one, but again, you gotta both be into it for something like that.
Yeah, and I think it's weird because obviously he's got a kid that can handle horror, and not be frightened. Mm-hmm. But can they handle? Because 13's a tough one. Are they okay with a little bit of violence? Yeah, you want to kind of keep the sexual stuff out of the way and the violence. There's not a whole lot.
It's a tough space to be this.
It's a tough space. You know, I do want to take one stab at it in that, like, weirdly, I'm going to say this weirdly, I think 13-year-olds and up to even other teenagers, I think they would be perversely attracted to that whole retro game show thing that just came back. So you could watch that. Those are kind of geared for families.
Sure.
You know, the pyramid and whatever else. I think that's something.
And I'm going to plug Doctor Who again. If you're into that sort of thing, you'll know your kid. But that is one of the problems with this, I think, is that in the U.S. it's very hard to find a show that is something that adults and young teenagers or, you know, older, you know, 10 to 12, 10 to 14 age are both going to like. And in Britain, they do a little bit more of that. So... You know, I don't know. And there's some of the stuff on sci-fi, not all of it, but some of it is I think appropriate, you know, not The Magicians, but maybe some of the like Continuum, something like that, maybe.
Yeah, probably not The Magicians. And but I think that's a really good pick on your end though for Doctor Who, which is the thing that I always forget because I don't watch it. I would say that separately, my kids have watched it over a friend's house where their parents are way more into the nerdy end of things than I ever got into. You know, I have a 15-year-old who got into like easy stuff like Quantico but that might be too violent and stuff for everyday people. I think it's a tough call. You got to go with what your kid knows. Like I think I would love to watch, Stranger Things with my kids, except that I would not want to have them like be freaked out.
Maybe something. What about something like if you like the sci-fi kind of stuff, something like Person of Interest, maybe, or something like which the whole series I think at this point is streaming, or almost all of it, or maybe Elementary,
something like that
with a mystery element. Sure. That's got the, because that's one of the advantages of the CBS procedural thing is that they are not as kind of rough and tumble as some other stuff that you'll find on TV.
So, yeah, I would say with the caveat there is, again, I have a 15-year-old who likes the Elementary as well. But Elementary is, and even Person of Interest, they don't go into the hyper-violence that some of the other CBS procedurals do.
Right, that's true. Yeah, you're whatever that sex, they have a couple that are really kind of out there, edgy sex crime kind of shows.
Yeah, they got some really bad profiler ones, so right. I would stay away from that. The light one, I think Elementary is also a good pick. I don't think that there's ever been something on there that I think is too much. Hmm. You can always go back to comedies. I love the 80s Goldberg stuff. I love Blackish.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh Off the Boat. Those are always good for
Modern Family. You know, to the first few years of Modern Family.
Yeah, all that stuff. But, you know, you're right.
I'll throw that in there, too. My daughter loves Bob's Burgers. So.
Right.
And she's 14.
Maybe we can totally agree on that and say, I got a 13 and a 15 and a half, and they both love Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Okay. Well, Matthew, I hope we helped. We were creeping around in the dark there looking for stuff for a while.
Well, also the weird thing too, for my kids, I'm not sure if it's the same as yours, but my kids don't really watch that much TV. So.
Yeah. It's my daughter watches a lot more than she used to. She is now a binger of stuff, mostly on like her laptop that she'll just have it on in her room. Don't judge me. It's a thing that she does. Mm-hmm. Or she'll, you know, she'll commandeer our bedroom and we'll go back there and she's watching something.
What about
that happens
Arrow?
Too. Oh yeah, you know, actually, The Flash would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We watched that with both kids, and Arrow is a little darker. But The Flash, that first season of The Flash, if you haven't watched that is actually a real kick in the pants. So I would, and Supergirl too. You know, that's if you're looking for something. That one's lighter. If you're looking Stranger Things, if the darkness does kind of do it for you and the scariness, you know, maybe Arrow, maybe something like Grimm. I don't know.
Probably Grimm scared me. I liked Grimm, but everything scares me, Jason. So it's, I'm not
all right.
Although weirdly enough, I watched Stranger Things and it didn't really scare me at all.
Yeah. There's a couple moments in there, but oh, by the way, breaking news, Grimm, TV's Grimm, shot in Portland, Oregon, not coming back after this season. They announced basically that the 13 episode order, they've been told to wrap it up. Their final 13 episodes will air starting in January, and thus ends the Friday night run of Grimm on NBC.
See? You need those shows, though. TGIF.
Our good friend Goran from country code 46, area code 31, wrote in to tell us this. And he was very sad because CBS also has announced that they've renewed James Patterson's Zoo for a third summer run. And Goran's comment was, this can't be a thing, can it? But it is. I don't understand. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry,
awesome.
Goran. The zoo. I only saw the first episode of Zoo. It was atrociously bad. And
country code 46 is Sweden.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good looking up things
on
the internet, Tim.
Thank you. I can do that now.
All right. Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Here's our MVP, My Vogon Poetry in the 716.
Oh, my goodness. I saw this.
This is a hypothetical. So here it is. The president has assigned you the task of defeating peak TV before it engulfs us all by going back to the simpler times of just four networks. Which four networks would you choose to unite us all around the water coolers for conversation again? So this is basically, you can only save four networks, including streaming, but again, just the originals. What four do you choose for the world?
I choose FX, HBO, Netflix, and Hulu.
Hulu. Interesting.
Because if you miss something, there wouldn't be other networks.
That's not the originals, though.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Then I would say a little trick here. I would say Acorn.
Because then you get everything British?
Yeah.
All right.
See what I did there?
I was going to say something very similar. I think I was going to say Netflix, HBO, probably FX, and then maybe like AMC.
Yeah, AMC was another pick. I just don't. And of course, everybody could watch Walking Dead. They don't have as much inventory.
It's true.
Because I love them, and I'm not trying to diss them by ignoring them, but they don't have the inventory that FX has.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that FXX would be pulled back into FX.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a monkey in a room switching channels. That's all it is. It's got splitter. There's like a Radio Shack splitter, and that's how you do it. That's the difference.
I didn't know that. Yeah. See, this is the kind of TV insidery stuff that we count on you for.
That is a thing.
It's a thing. All right.
Everybody
got it.
Knows.
Morton from the +47. What country is that, Tim?
I'm going to look that up while you're doing that. Because it's 4-6. Do you think it's close to Sweden?
It is Norway. I just looked it up. It's Norway.
It is close.
It's very close. They're just the next one over.
Enemies, though.
One higher. So Morton from the +47 says, following on from the data appearing on screen not being a thing, on shows like CSI where they go through their databases looking for a fingerprint and the program displays all of the non-matching prints as it races through the database, this is not a thing. Displaying data is very time-consuming as it moves data from the CPU or GPU, which is doing the math to calculate matches to the I.O. This would make the process slow down considerably, probably to 1/10 the speed, so it doesn't actually show things on screen when it's searching. But it's more exciting when you can see it.
That is a fantastic not a thing.
But that's not a thing. No,
you know what? You know what else? That's a great not a thing. You know what else might not be a thing? I said that what country is he from?
Norway.
I said Norway and Sweden were bitter enemies. That might not be true. I do not know that. I do know that Sweden and Denmark are
I imagine all countries were once bitter enemies to their neighbors at some point in history, right? Other than like the U.S. and U.S. and Canada even fought a war. See, again.
Yes, but modern day Scandinavia does not strike me as angry people.
No, they're friendly now.
They're just like, you know what? I got a lot of old grudges, but I'm just going to make some awesome furniture. That's what we're going to do. That's what they're saying.
So I got one here from Gerard from the 902.
Okay.
Again, sounds like we're back in the U.S. We're not Nova Scotia. 902 is Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Says, I just caught up with Catastrophe. Can you guys, which is brilliant. He said it's effing brilliant. I'm not going to check the box yet. So, okay. Can you guys think of any other rom-coms this smart? Much love to both of you. Well, you're the worst.
Yeah, definitely. Very much in the same sensibility, even.
Yeah.
A little more raunchy, even.
Yeah.
But that definitely fits it. I think Casual is smart. I think that's a really good one. It's a rom-com-ish thing that's smart. Maybe a little broader than a rom-com. Yeah, those work.
All right. We prescribed those for you.
We did.
Gerard in Canada. You don't have to come across the border to fill that prescription.
You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, you know what? I got two quick answers, and the guy with the 13-year-old had like 30 suggestions. Yeah. That's what he's going to say.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
The exchange rate.
We're just trying to be efficient.
Something like that.
Exchange rate.
I don't even know.
That's ridiculous. Okay. just saying.
Brandon in 301 wrote in to say, as the new Star Trek show approaches, I've started to notice something. Oh, this is beautiful. This whole, man, it's nice not to pay for a ridiculous bundle of cable is starting to add up. After all, I've got to have Netflix. Hulu has interesting stuff. HBO has Game of Thrones and possibly Westworld. Now CBS is a streaming thing too. You know, at a certain point, I'm going to have cobbled together a worse version of the cable bundle for more money. I just feel that this model has stopped subsidizing the lower tier channels, which sometimes produced awesome stuff. AMC was an old movie club channel until Mad Men was developed. I guess my question is, how much longer can this hold? When comes the TV apocalypse, and do I need to be ready to fight TV zombies? Brandon in the 301.
Well, we are in the midst of it, clearly, but there are different issues, right? I mean, the cord cutting and bundling is different than just peak TV, because he is right in some sense that the cable channels that are being propped up have been adding significantly to the overall total of peak TV. But I've already predicted the death of many of those, and it's starting to come true. We started with Pivot, and other people are getting out of the business or are certainly thinking about getting out of the business. You know, WeTV was my cover channel for that story. They were in it for a while, and then they got out completely because they found out what everybody else did much quicker, which is, you know what? There's no money to be made in this, and it is really expensive.
Yeah.
So they're just different issues. I think they're all going to – I think the business angle is more interesting along the cord cutter part, because – The little mini channels, they can't afford two things. They can't afford to make scripted material to stand out anymore like AMC did, because everybody's doing it. Now they're all drowning. And once people start reconfiguring their cable subscriptions or doing their bundles, those little ones are dead because they're being supported by the bigger ones. So, yeah, that's a better business story than it is sort of a peak TV story.
All right. Well, I think that's all our letters for this time.
We know so what we should say, though, this is definitely not a Columbo, because I'm still within the same thought process.
Okay.
And that is, my Vogue on Poetry put on a very, very interesting GIF on Twitter.
Yes, you should check it out.
And I was really impressed.
Yeah, I can probably stick a link to that in the show notes. Although, if you do a search for people sending things to TVTM, you'll see it there too.
But wow, I couldn't do that. You could, but you could because you're savvy.
But the well, that's why I'm going to put a link in because you know you should see it. He did a little animated thing of Tim Goodman's wisdom.
Yes, or from My Vote on Poetry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, that's true.
I do believe you came up with not.
Yeah, but according to him, it's all attributed to you. So
yeah, I'm
just going to let it let you have the glory of your own animated GIF there.
Yes, that's awesome.
So the numbers, yes, you can like our Facebook group. How do you do that? You go to facebook.com/TV Talk Machine. It's that easy. You can email us podcast@TVTalkMachine.com. That will get to us, and they may be read on the podcast. You can tweet at us @TVTM. These are the ways to reach us. And you can tweet at me @JaySnell. You can tweet at Tim @BastardMachine. Will he read them? I don't know. I honestly don't know what he's going to do with those.
But I'm going to read them. I'm going to read them. I do read the mentions. I want to make it clear because people did actually respond to my little, I'm going to cut back on Twitter as me getting off. I'm not getting off, and I will read everybody's mention and anybody comments on any of my stories. I will read that.
You're just not going to be scouring your own timeline to see what everybody else is saying.
I can't really confirm that I'll be reading people I follow.
All right. So if you want to talk to Tim, just be sure to mention him. Otherwise, he has no idea what's going on.
Except for Jason. I will definitely be reading Jason.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. That's a relief.
Yep.
All right. Well, until next week, then, thanks to everybody out there for listening. Tim, have a good weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Jason.